As Pastor Jeff mentioned, we've been in this series of cliches. You know, things that we thought were in Scripture that are really not in Scripture. And so far, Pastor Jeff has gone over God helps those who help themselves. And second one was when God closes a door, he opens a window. This morning, we're going to be looking at follow your heart. Follow your heart. Now, we hear that all the time, don't we? I mean, we hear it in the church, but we hear it in the world a lot. Well, just follow your heart. Do whatever your heart tells you to do. And so we're going to really take that apart and see what that says. Pastor Jeff has said this, and I like this statement. Clichés are like plastic swords in a real battle. Amen. That was good, Pastor Jeff. That was so good, I wrote it down, brother. But that is so true. You know, in Hebrews 4:12, it tells us that, you know, we have a double-edged sword that, you know, cuts both ways, a double-edged blade, if you will. And so the Word of God does that. Clichés, they do not do that. So where in the world did we get this idea of follow your heart? Well, I looked it up. Where's it come from? It's an idea from ancient Greek Stoics and Confucianism that laid out the groundwork for the sentiment it emphasizes, self-authenticity. Self-authenticity, me, I, follow my heart, do what I think is right, do what I think is best. In fact, some of you younger ones may not know who Steve Jobs is, but for those of us who are a little older, he's a co-founder of Apple. And he said this in a 2005 commitments address at Stanford University. He said this, "Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinion drown out, look at this, your own inner voice. And most important, here we go, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. That somehow, they somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary." And let me say this, that really sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, you want to fire up some college students. That really sounds good. Follow your own heart. Don't follow after other people. Follow your own heart. Make your own path. It sounds good, but essentially what it suggests is that true happiness and satisfaction comes from aligning your actions, your inner desires, and your values with what you think is right. So, I'll say it again. It's all about me. Those of you who think you're perfect are particularly irritating to those of us who are. That's the thought. That's the thought. And we think that, don't we? Yeah, sure we do. We're all guilty of that. So let me give you an example here. Number one, I couldn't decide what to do, so I just followed my heart. How about giving advice? I trust that you will follow your heart in this matter. Do you see the problem? I follow my heart. I want you to follow your heart. The problem is we're following what we think's right. I don't know if any of you young people know who Frank Sinatra is. Old blue eyes. Yeah, I see some. Oh, some of the young ones. Yeah, you know. Well, Neil Sedaka wrote a song that Frank Sinatra made famous, and I believe it is absolutely the worst song that's ever been written on the face of the earth. I did it my way. Everybody knows it. It's a beautiful song. You love to listen to it. But if you begin to break it down and listen to the words, it's all about me. I did it my way. Didn't have any help from God. Didn't have any help from others. I just did it my way. And that's the thought here that we're looking at. That's the problem that we're looking at here. So let me take you to a little bit of scripture as we begin this process. In Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14, this area of Scripture is called Satan's big eyes, five big eyes. Listen to what Scripture says. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Satan's five big eyes. I. Look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Look what I am going to do. And you know how I'm going to do it? I'm going to follow my heart. Because my heart tells me what's right and what's wrong. Okay, with that thought in mind, I want us to look at what Jeremiah has to say about the heart. All right, in Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10, listen to what the word says. The heart is more deceitful than all else. It's desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Some of you are saying, oh my gosh, Mike, is this going to be a downer message? Are you going to use the whole time telling me how deceitful and bad my heart is? No, I'm not going to do that. But I did want to set the stage for this because in its purest form, what I'm saying is I'm just going to follow my heart and I'm going to leave God out of the situation. I don't need God around. I got this. Henry Blackaby, who did Experiencing God study many years ago, he said this: the Bible stresses that what you say is an accurate indicator of what is in your heart. What is in your heart? What comes out of a man? Matthew 15, 18, Jesus said, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and these defile the man. So our words, our actions reflect our hearts. And remember what Jeremiah said, our heart is more deceitful than all else, and it is desperately sick. That's our heart. That's our heart. But I've got some good news. Ezekiel 36, 26 says this. Now listen up. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So my heart, my sinful heart, and you youth were touched by the Holy Spirit of the living God, and it just, your heart changed, didn't it? That heart of stone became a heart of flesh. And when we say yes to Jesus Christ, that's exactly what happens. Therefore, I no longer have to worry about following my heart. I follow God's heart. 1 John 4, 4 says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So when I said yes to Jesus Christ, I don't have to worry about following my heart because the heart of the living God lives within me. And I follow his leadership. I do what he says, not what I want to do. Okay, so as we look at this scripture, we need to understand that there was a man who is actually my favorite character in the Bible, King David. Y'all are going to have to forgive me. I've got glasses, hearing aids, and this stupid thing on my head, and it's just popping up. So if you see me playing with my ears, I'm not playing with my ears. I'm trying to get this thing back where it's supposed to be. Okay, this my favorite guy, King David, was, in fact, in 1 Samuel 13, 14, the prophet Samuel, when he came against King Saul, he said this, the Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart. So you know the story about King Saul, how seeing King Saul, how he all messed up so badly. So even before David was king, God had already picked him out. Why? Because he was a man after his own heart. Now, this is the reason I love King David so much. King David was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Was he? You know the story of King David. And I'm going to get into it a little bit here in a minute. But God looked down from his throne and said, I am desiring a man after my own heart. I'm going to pick David. I'm going to pick David. So David was a man after his own heart, and he aligned his heart with God's desires and with God's principles. So we're going to look at that this morning. And the bottom line of this whole message this morning is taking my heart and giving it to the Father and saying, Father, fill me up. Fill me up. Father, I followed my own heart, and it's not working so well for me. How many of you can, I don't ask him for a raise of hand, but how many of you this morning could raise your hands and say, yeah, I followed my heart for a while. Where did it get you? Probably not in a very good place. So we need to look at King David and see how his heart began to be molded and shaped after he gave his entire will to the Father. So we're going to look at five characteristics. Pastor Jeff has gotten away from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 points. I'm an old guy. I still do the points, so just bear with me here, okay? So as we look at King David, the first characteristic was David had a heart of faith. He had a heart of faith. He had a deep trust in God. In God's guidance and power is seen in David's faith in defeating Goliath. You know, if you know the story of Goliath, you'll know that David, he was still a shepherd boy, probably somewhere between 16, 17, 18, somewhere in that area. And I want to read this because this is so good. So David comes on the scene, and he looks out, and he sees the giant. And this is what he says, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" Wow. And the king at that time, Saul, said, or David said to the king, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." So David had no fear, but he had faith that his God was going to deliver him. I think a lot of us have probably had several Goliaths in our life, and I'm not talking about individuals, but things that are a Goliath, a mountain that we have to overcome, things that are so painful and so hurtful, it's hard to overcome. Noah, I appreciate your testimony, and I'm so sorry for your loss. My wife and I identify with your loss, except our loss didn't come early. Our loss came later. Our daughter was 37 when she passed away. And that hurt was so deep that it completely changed our reality. But my wife and I had a choice. We could remain faithful to our God and follow him, or we could blame him. We could blame him for taking our daughter. We chose to follow God. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just saying we made a decision that God was still good. Job cried out, "Yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him." David had that kind of faith. He had a heart of faith. We can't follow our own hearts, because I'm going to tell you something. When you lose a child, you got nothing to hold on to. You don't understand. Your prayers did not get answered. But not only did we cling to each other, we clinged to our Father. And that's what got us through. Our faith got us through. You see why following your own heart won't get you where you need to be? Because if we'd have followed our own heart, we probably wouldn't even be married now. Couples who lose children, many, many, many couples, it ends in divorce. Because they don't have a rock. They don't have a basis. They don't have faith. You know, Hebrews 11:1 is the definition of what what faith really is: the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So we had the assurance and the conviction that no matter what, God is good. And we'll see our daughter again. But next time it'll be for eternity. Having that faith, having that heart of faith is so important. David had it. We need to have it. In fact, let me talk a little bit about David. Okay, God said, he's a man after my own heart. Well, when you go and you look what happened, Samuel, in the book of Samuel, says that David, 2 Samuel, David went up on the roof of his castle and looked out and saw a woman bathing, Bathsheba. He lusted after her. He had wives and concubines. He lusted after her, had her come up to his bedroom, had relations with her. She got pregnant with a man who was part of David's mighty 30, Uriah the Hittite. He was part of 30 men that were the fiercest of the warriors. But he was battling. So he said, David said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get Uriah, bring him back, have him come into his wife. They'll sleep together, and everybody think it's his child. I'm okay. This is supposed to be a man after God's own heart. So he does that. Uriah won't leave him. He won't leave the foot of the castle of the king. He wouldn't go into his wife. So David said, what am I going to do now? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to call Joab, the commander. I'm going to send Uriah back into the battle, but I'm going to tell Joab, put him in the front, well, he'll be killed. That's exactly what happened. So now David was guilty of adultery, and now he's guilty of murder. How in the world could he be a man after God's own heart? You understand why I just love David so much? Because I look at him and I think, he's a really big foul up. I almost said another word. I would embarrass myself. He was a real foul up. But you know what? His heart, after all this happened, and David suffered the rest of his life. The rest of the time he was king, blood was upon his kingdom, and he had horrible things happen. So sin will find you. That's what the book of Numbers says. And it found him. But my point is this. Through all that, David's heart never changed toward God. And David began to grow more and more. See why we have a chance? we have a wonderful chance to follow God, because God is the God who forgives. I'm getting ahead of myself. So he had a heart of faith. The second thing he had was a heart of trust, a willingness to rely on God even in difficult times, as David did when he chose not to kill Saul. Now, in 1 Samuel 24:10, David says this, he's talking to Saul. Behold, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord have given you today into my hand in the cave, and some said to kill you, but my eye had pity on you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. So, he trusted God. See, God had already anointed him as king back when he was a boy. And he knew that was his destiny. And the guys in the cave behind him, his warriors that he was running, who ran with him when he was trying to get away from Saul, they said, now's your chance. There he is. Kill him. But he trusted God so much, he said, no, not going to do that. Because if I take his life, something bad's going to happen. I'm going to trust that God will put me in that position of being king. And that's exactly what happened. Now, let me give you a personal testimony about this. Years and years and years ago, when we were in the other building, I wanted to be a full-time pastor so bad I couldn't hardly stand it. I just really wanted to be a full-time pastor. I was working for the county. I was a purchasing agent of the county, and I was pastoring, and I wanted to get rid of that nonsense, and I wanted to come full-time, serve the Lord full-time. So I'm a guy that's in management, and I've managed a lot of people. I know how to get things done, just like Pastor Jeff does. I can make things happen. So I started to make things happen. I went to our director of missions. At that time, we were a Baptist church, went over there, started talking to him. We started figuring and conniving and said, hey, we can go to the Baptist General Convention and they can get monies together and they can supplement your income. And I mean, I had this whole thing lined out. I was full on. And at that time, a man who was my associate pastor, his name is Danny Grisso. He's now the pastor of Shady Grove Baptist. But he was my associate. And I went to Danny, and I was so proud of what I had done. I went to Danny, and I said, Danny, this is what I've done. And I laid out my whole plan to him. And I thought he was going to say, way to go, preacher. That's really good. I'm so proud of you. Way to go. You know what he said to me? He said, I think you're pushing it, Pastor. He might as well picked up a sword and stuck it straight in my heart, because I knew it was not his words. I knew it was God's words. And it so upset me that I just backed away from everything and I went to God and asked for repentance, because I was making things happen. Now, God made it happen later on, but you understand, I was trying to push it. I was putting trust in me, in Mike Wiley. I was making things happen, and I wasn't letting God control my life. So we have to have a heart of pure faith, and we also have to have a heart of trust. You know, we're an instant gratification society. I want it, and I want it now. I don't want to have to wait for it. I want it right now. And if I don't have the money, I'm going to go borrow the money. If I need to do this, if I need to do that, I want this, so I'm going to make it happen. Where is our trust? Do you ever think that maybe you want something so bad that maybe God doesn't want that for you? That God's going to know that changes you? You know why God, I always believe this, you know why God never made me a millionaire? Because he knows what I would become if I was a millionaire. I'm not responsible enough to be able to handle that kind of money. And God knew that. So I have to trust that everything that God does for me is in my best interest. So I have to have a heart of trust as King David did, and trust that God's ways are the best ways. Now, what's the third thing that we're looking at of characteristic of David? He had a heart of obedience. A heart of obedience. Following God's commands and will as David did in his life and all of his actions. In fact, in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 22, scripture says this. And after he removed him, God, after he removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, and here we go with God's word again, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all of my will. He'll do all, he won't just do my will, he'll do all of my will. So he had a heart of obedience. And when I look at that heart of obedience, I immediately think of Abraham in Genesis 22 when he offered up his son Isaac. Who would do that? Would you do that? I'm out, God. I'll be obedient to you, but don't ask me to give up my child. In fact, don't ask me to kill my child and then make him a burnt offering. That's not going to happen, God. But obedience, pure obedience. I'm going to pick for me a man who is going to do my full will. And remember, as I'm going through these different characteristics, we're talking about not following our own heart. What some thinks in Scripture, and it's not, but what we hear from the world all the time about following our own hearts. We have to have a heart of God, and God demands that you and I have obedience to him. What's the fourth thing? A heart of repentance. Now, here's kind of where the rubber meets the road. Being ready to turn back to God and seek forgiveness when needed, as David did after his sin with Bathsheba. Holy smoke. Yes, God. In Psalm 51 was written by David, and it is actually a psalm that he wrote concerning this particular sin. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to read a couple of verses. Verses 1 through 4, David says this, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak and blameless when thou dost judge." And then in verses 10 through 13, he says this. And listen to this. If you're dealing with something right now and you need to bring it to the Father, listen to this verse. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing heart. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee." A heart of absolute repentance. And he wrote this wonderful psalm because of the sin that he committed against Bathsheba and against Uriah the Hittite. "Create in me a clean heart, O God." How many of us want to pray that this morning? "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." And you know the results of that? He says it later on. "Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee." You know, I noticed certain things in people. I'm a people watcher, and I was watching everybody. You know, the youth gave their testimonies. And then I began to watch, and I saw some of the youth do some of the very things that they were talking about. I saw some youth kind of pouring their heart out and other youth here coming up to them as we were singing in the song service. You understand the impact that that makes on those around when they see kids exemplifying forgiveness and exemplifying love, not afraid to hug, not afraid to do those things. I'm going to say something. It's going to impact both this and this next characteristic. And parents, I want you to listen to this. You saw all the pictures, all the wonderful time that the kids had. They come back completely fired up for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're excited. They've seen the hand of God move in their lives, and they're excited. And then they come back to us in church. And it's like we just take that bucket of cold water and you know why? Because they're intimidated. We're the old adults. We're the ones who run things. They're the ones that are free. We're the ones that are not. And I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand me, I'm not the wild-eyed freak-out guy. I'm not saying we got to be wild-eyed and freak out, but we can't be stone cold either. You know, these youth, they're on fire right now, and we should be encouraging them in their expression. The one thing that I regret, and Mary Ann, you know me, and you know how reserved I've been all my life. The one thing I regret, which is going to go into this idea of worship, the one thing I regret in my life is that I have never and probably still can't express myself like I see these kids expressing themselves. I've never danced before the Lord. I'm too dignified to do that. I've never freaked out before the Lord. I've fallen on my face before the Lord. I get excited at football games when I watch my girls play softball. I'm not going to translate that to the church. What would other people think if a 76-year-old man went dancing up and down these aisles? You're not going to ever see that. But my heart's dancing. I know. Now I'm going to get all this flack from Linnell. But that, I knew I shouldn't have gone down that rabbit hole. All right. Thank you, Linnell. Linnell always, she tries to be my Holy Spirit, but. All right. Let's go to the next characteristic, which is what I'm talking about, the heart of worship. That's what I was talking about here. Cultivating a heart that loves and honors God through worship and praise, as David did, here we go, when he brought the ark into Jerusalem. Well, yeah, talk about dancing, yeah. In 2 Samuel, settle down. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 14 through 16, it says this, "And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of trumpet. Then it happened, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart." Yeah, that's what we all worry about, isn't it? Verse 21 says, "So David said to Michal, 'It was before the Lord who chose me above your father, above all this house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will celebrate before the Lord.'" He didn't listen to one of his wives. He said, "Hey, hold on, sister. God picked me over your dad. And just because you don't think it's right for me to dance before the Lord, I am going to dance before the Lord. I am going to worship God." You know why? Because I'm not following my heart. I'm following God's heart. And God's heart wants us to worship before Him. I'll probably never get past my Lutheran and Baptist backgrounds. But that's just me. Know this. That God wants hearts that are attuned to Him. Hearts that are changed because of Him. Hearts of faith and trust, obedience, repentance, hearts of worship. That is a man and a woman after God's own heart. That's exactly what we're looking at. Not following our own hearts, following His heart, letting His Spirit change our hearts, letting this heart of stone become a heart of flesh. That's what God wants. That's what God wants out of you. That's what God wants out of me. I'll tell you a little story. I say I never danced. I have danced before the Lord. I have danced. When we had a prison ministry, and we'd go into prison, it was through Kairos. We did it for many years. And those prisoners, they wouldn't know what to do in a church like this, because their church is not like this at all. But after the second day, we got our band playing. After the second day, we're doing Congo lines around the tables. Everybody is dancing. They're jiving. They're praising the Lord. They're completely uninhibited. And it was unbelievable. I looked at it. The first time I experienced that, I looked at one of the guys I was serving with, and I said, "God, I feel like I'm in church." Because it was so different. And it was so exciting. And it was joyous. It was happy. And they were truly praising the Lord. So, yes, Linnell, I have danced before the Lord. So, maybe that'll satisfy you. I don't know, but.
Well, if I had ever tried to be your Holy Spirit, I repent of that.
Oh, no, I'm teasing. I didn't mean to make you feel bad. I really wasn't trying to get back at her, so. Linnell, I love you, and I love your excitement for the Lord. So, I said all that to say this morning, whose heart are you following? Are you following your own? Are you following God's? That's really the bottom line. Whose heart are you following? Mary Ann, 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us of our sins and what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness." As Ezekiel said, at that point we can have that heart of flesh. When we look at the book of Romans, Romans 10, 9 through about 13, says, "If I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart
that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. With the heart results in righteousness. With the mouth results in salvation. And as it says also in Acts, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whose heart this morning are you following? I feel this morning that this is a heart issue that each one of us need to deal with. And I would like to give you the opportunity to deal with your heart this morning. Now, let me say this. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand or stand. Nobody's going to come to you. But this morning, if you came in here and you were following your own heart, I'm going to give you an opportunity to follow God's and to receive God so that he can make your heart flesh. Some of you may say, you know, years ago, preacher, I was really on fire for the Lord. But some things happened. And I'm not doing that anymore. But I want to do it. I want to follow God's heart. I want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do. We're going to bow our heads and close our eyes. And I'm going to say a prayer. And I would like for you to repeat this prayer if you want your heart changed. Father, I am a sinner. And I confess my sins to you. My heart has been stone, but I want it to be flesh. So I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I ask you into my heart to cleanse me. I want a new heart. Father, enter me now. And I thank you for your presence. I thank you, Jesus, that you love me so much that you went to the cross. I am now yours. And I will now follow you the rest of my life. You've taken my heart of stone and you've turned it into a heart of flesh. I love you and I praise you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, let me encourage you to find someone and share that with. Let that be your first act of an inward profession that you made. Let somebody know that you made that decision. Come see this pastor, any of the leadership, me, anyone, and just say, I received that prayer. I now have a new heart in God, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to follow God's heart. Not my heart anymore. In fact, I'm so serious that I'm going to even follow God in holy baptism. Come see this pastor and he'll get you set up. But God bless you. God bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Amen.